Greetings to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of Jesus. The text for today is just the last verse of the gospel reading. I'll read it to you again on the front of your bulletin. After 8 days had passed, it was time to circumcise the child, and he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we hear your word today, increase our faith in the name of Jesus and lead us to call on him in prayer, praise, and thanksgiving. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I remember a friend telling me about his time at a radio station where there was a list of words that they weren't allowed to use on the air. We could have some fun by trying to guess what they were, but perhaps not appropriate today. The interesting thing for our purposes is that one of these words that was off limits was the name of Jesus. And it wasn't a blanket ban on religious language. There was plenty of religious and spiritual language they could use, but not the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus evokes strong and strange reactions. For Christians, it's a holy name. The name above all names. The only name under heaven by which we are saved, the name at which one day every knee will bow. But for others, it's a name to be avoided at best, or worse, used as a curse. Lord have mercy. So today we take the opportunity to think a little about the name of Jesus. First, we'll look at where the name came from. Second, we'll look at when the name was given. And third, what it looks like for us to bear the name of Jesus in our lives. And we'll think especially about all this as we enter a new year. So first, where does this name, Jesus, come from? Now, the word itself, it's not that complicated. It's simply our English version of the Greek version of the Hebrew name Joshua. So Hebrew is Yeshua, comes into Greek Jesus, comes into English Jesus. It's not a unique name in that sense. It does mean the Lord saves, the Lord is salvation. We'll come back to that later, but as far as we can tell, it was a common name in Israel in those days. You may even remember in the Gospels, we meet another Jesus, Jesus Barabbas, the one they let go in place of our Lord Jesus. So when I ask the question, where does the name come from? I'm not so much talking about the origin of the word, but about another little detail in our text. That is, who chose this name for the incarnate Son of God? Where did it come from for him? Because it wasn't a family name. It wasn't chosen by Mary and Joseph, was it? We read, and he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel, before he was conceived in the womb. The name comes from heaven, from God himself. And you'll remember there were to be no accidents about this. Mary and Joseph both separately received angelic visits being told to name the child Jesus. It's worth thinking about the significance of this, that the name of Jesus is sent from heaven. It comes from the outside. Especially because you may have noticed that God's in a bit of a habit of doing things with names. Just before this, a similar thing had happened with John the Baptist. Zechariah had been told to name their special child John, and this came as quite a surprise to their family because it wasn't a family name. And elsewhere too, God renames people. So Abram and Sarai become Abraham and Sarah. Jacob becomes Israel. Simon becomes Peter. And even right through Christian history, Christians from pagan cultures have often taken a new name when they were baptized. What's going on with all this? In particular, what is the significance in the Christmas story? That God is the one who gives the name through the angel. Surely this points to the truth that what is happening here is not according to human plans, but is part of God's plan, the fulfillment of God's purposes. What is happening in the birth of Jesus is not the result of human activity, but the activity and intervention of God. That this is not just an earthly story, but a story of heaven coming to earth. Of God joining himself with human flesh in Jesus. And we see this even in the simple detail that the name of Jesus is sent by God from heaven through the angel. Dear friends in Christ, as we enter a new year, this can be a good reminder for us. Because what do we often do at this time of year? We begin to make plans, don't we, for the year ahead. And so perhaps this can remind us that instead of only asking, what are my plans for this year, we may ask, what are God's plans? What's the bigger plan of God that I fit into? Or at least how God's will may affect my plans. Instead of only considering our activity and what other people may intervene in our lives this year, let us be open to the activity and intervention of God. Instead of confining this new year only to earthly things, let us lift our minds and hearts to heavenly things. The name of Jesus came from God in heaven. So that's where it came from. Next, let's consider when the name was given. After 8 days had passed, it was time to circumcise the child, and he was called Jesus. So when is it given? When he was 8 days old, in connection with his circumcision. That's the reason we celebrate this day today, by the way, January 1. We celebrate his birth on December 25th. You count those 8 days you get to today, January 1. And so we want to ask whether there's any significance that Jesus' name is given on the occasion of his circumcision, because I think there is. Now, you may remember from the Old Testament that circumcision was commanded by God as a sign of the covenant that the Lord made with Abraham. So we read from Genesis 17, God speaking to Abraham, "You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins. It shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised." So this ritual marked the people of Israel as those belonging to the Lord, part of his covenant family. And so from Israel's perspective, this is one of the first parts of obeying the law, their response to God's covenant with them. Now obviously the sign was only on the men of Israel, but in that culture, they saw themselves first as part of a family, not as individuals. So the father or husband is marked with this sign on behalf of the whole family. Now, if circumcision is about fulfilling the law of God, then part of this covenant, the question for us is, why does Jesus have it done? After all, as God in human flesh, he's the one who made the covenant in the first place. So why is the maker of the covenant subject to its laws? The answer is in our Galatians reading today. When the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who are under the law. Jesus does not need to have this done for himself, but he does it for you. Apart from Christ, we are all under the law, and we fail to live under the law as God would have us live. But Jesus comes as our substitute, to live the life that we cannot and will not live, to fulfill the law of God on our behalf. And it begins here as he is only 8 days old, with Mary and Joseph presenting him for the rite of circumcision according to the law. So then the fact that Jesus' name is given here is significant, because both the act he undergoes and the name he is given point to the same reality. They point us to who he is and what he's come to do. Remember what Jesus means. The Lord saves. He's the Savior. You shall name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So his circumcision shows him to be the Redeemer, and his name shows him to be the Savior. Two sides of the same coin. And in history, it has not escaped people's notice that even here at 8 days old, as he begins his redeeming and saving work, he sheds his blood for the first time, pointing us to the cross where he brings his work to completion. Dear friends in Christ, in your baptism, that holy name of Jesus was put on you, so that you bear his name. He is your Savior. He is your Redeemer. So that as you enter this new year, you do not enter with Jesus, the lawmaker or the taskmaster, but with Jesus, your Redeemer, who sets you free from the law's condemnation. You do not enter this new year with Jesus, the condemning judge, but with Jesus, your Savior, your helper, your deliverer. Perhaps this past year has been a hard one for you, feeling the burden of things done and left undone. But between you and your failures of this past year stands Jesus, your Savior. Or perhaps you have fears for the year ahead, uncertainties, tasks that overwhelm you. But with you this year stands Jesus, your Savior and your Redeemer. Today we begin this new year together in the name of Jesus. And so that name of your Redeemer and your Savior is over every day of this year, as indeed it is over every day of your life. So we considered where the name came from, we considered when it was given. Now finally, we think just a bit about what it means for us to bear this holy name in our lives. Now as I was thinking about this, I went through all the times in the New Testament where the words name and Jesus are used together. And there's a lot we could say about this. But as I did, there were two recurring themes which stuck out to me that I'll just finish with briefly today. One of them I expected. One of them I didn't. The one I expected was prayer. The name of Jesus is a gift to you so that you pray to the Father by the Spirit in the name of Jesus. You are given the name of Jesus as a means of access to heaven, to receive God's blessings, to ask him for whatever you need. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you." So this year, as you wake, as you eat, as you go to bed, as you give thanks for joys and struggle through challenges, have the name of Jesus on your lips in prayer and praise and thanksgiving. That was the first theme I expected to find as I traced through what it looks like for us to bear the name of Jesus, prayer. The second one, though, surprised me a little bit. Because what I found is that another big theme connected with bearing the name of Jesus is suffering and persecution. And quite honestly, I was preparing to preach on New Year's Day and I'm thinking, I don't want to have to talk about suffering. But there it is. It's all over the place. One of the very first things the apostles get in trouble for in the book of Acts is speaking in the name of Jesus. And they were expressly forbidden to use that name. My friend's radio station is nothing new. And then we're reminded of Jesus' words in the Gospels over and over again, that you will be hated by all because of my name, on account of my name. The name of Jesus is a gift to us. It marks us as those who belong to God, and in Jesus' name we have access to heaven and all the blessings of God for us. But to bear the name of Jesus is also to share in the sufferings of Jesus. And as sobering as that may be on New Year's Day, we need to be ready to suffer for the name. Now, this can be dramatic, as you know, in many places around the world. But it can be quite simple and mundane as well. I think even of my kitchen table. When friends and family come and I want to pray in the name of Jesus, with certain people, that makes life a bit difficult for me. I wouldn't call it persecution, but it does begin to make relationships difficult, just praying in the name of Jesus. The mystery is that even in the midst of suffering and persecution for Jesus' name, His blessing is there. He is at work through it. Because Jesus says, "Blessed are those persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And later on in the New Testament, St. Peter has these words to encourage the early suffering Christians. "If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you." God is with you in this, in other words. "If anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name." So we come to the end of our meditation for today on the name of Jesus. It is the name above all names. It is the only name under heaven by which we are saved. It is the name at which one day every knee will bow. It is the name sent from heaven by God through the angel. It is the name given as He began His redeeming and saving work. It is the name that you bear in this life. In the name of Jesus. Amen.